On this fourth Sunday of Lent, which is sometimes called Rejoice Sunday or Laetare Sunday, we can anticipate the forthcoming Paschal events, especially through the readings, which are rather pertinent and potent. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. God's people were in exile, and God reminded them that eventually they would be liberated. One day there would come a time when peace would be restored to his people, God's people. Of course, that time was ultimately with Christ. Whereas St. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, a very holy church in the apostolic times, that we have been saved by grace. It is through grace that we've been lifted up, restored to God and fellowship with him. That grace is sanctifying grace that comes to us from baptism. Now, the text for baptism, with regards why we need to be baptized to be saved, to enter into God's family, is from St. John's Gospel, chapter 3. And you have the Gospel today is the tail end of that discourse. And the discourse was with a Sadducee, Nicodemus. Now, this is the man who, with Joseph of Arimathea, would be at Calvary to take the dead body of Jesus and wrap it in those shrouded clothes and other ointments and place it in the tomb for the women the next day to, or later on, to prepare for death. So Nicodemus at the end was a key player in the passion and death of Christ. On this occasion he comes out and he appears at night with the Lord. Some call him the night stalker because he stalks the presence of God always at night. Sometimes wonder late at night, people walking around with them, they're looking for God or perhaps just lost. Anyway, Nicodemus was a man seeking the truth, wanting to know how one can enter into eternal life. And so Jesus initiates the discussion. We don't have the text, but it basically says, you must be born again, Nicodemus. Now, the word again here in the Greek is aeos. So the text could translate into you can be born from on high, you can be born anew, or you can be born again. Whatever the text, it means you have to be spiritually born through the sacrament of baptism. And Nicodemus goes off on the tangent, how do I get born again? In other words, do I have to enter back into my mother's womb? He's thinking of physical birth. Jesus is referring to spiritual birth, where the soul is connected to grace, the grace that St. Paul's referring to, so that we're spiritually renewed, transformed by sanctifying grace. And so Nicodemus, having missed the point, Jesus goes off on a tangent and uses what we call lateral thinking. You know, when someone doesn't tune in at all, has no idea what you're saying, sometimes it's good to just go far right, far left, just a lateral perspective sometimes then can help people to focus. And in doing so, pulls up an Old Testament archetype. An archetype is part of what we call typology in the Bible, where something was buried a long time in the Old Covenant that actually was pointing to the New Covenant and in particular Christ. And this is the episode that we have at the start of our Gospel, where Jesus says, the Son of Man, that's myself, must be lifted up. On what? The cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent or snake in the desert, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So in one sentence, he unpacks a lot. And unless you knew your scriptures, it didn't make much sense. Nicodemus would have known about that event during the Mosaic Covenant. God's people were in the wilderness. They had rebelled again through sin, and serpents were biting them, and many were dying. And they came to Moses saying, can't you do something? You're God's mediator after all. Do something, work a miracle, get rid of the snakes. What about those people dying? So he says, okay, all right, gather those who've been bitten by snakes, suffering from poison, bring them over here. Let's make it like a telephone pole with a cross beam. And what we'll do is we'll get a bronze serpent. Now, bronze serpent you have to make. You've got to get some zinc and copper and put it together and... in other words, they have to mould it somehow and form this bronze snake and put it up there on this stand of this pole we've erected, have it up there and gather the people below who have been bitten by the snake and have them look up at the bronze snake hanging in our little tree there. And it's an odd thing to do, it would have taken time, and why do it after all? Well, it's all regarding a type. Jesus would fulfill what Moses began. Moses was inspired to do that for the three reasons I've put into the bulletin. To help people understand what he would come and do on Calvary. Moses was inspired to make this bronze serpent onto the wood and place it there so that those who looked at it would be saved of snake bite. The correlation is threefold. Firstly, the bronze snake looks like a snake that isn't. It's made of metal. Christ looks like he's only human, but he isn't. He is God and man. Second point, the bronze snake is poisonless. There's no poison in it, of being a real snake, yet it heals one of poison. Jesus is sinless, yet he heals us from sin. And the third point, it's only when the people bitten by the snake looked up at the bronze serpent, the snake, were they healed. So too, it's only when we lift up our hearts and eyes to Christ on the cross, seeking forgiveness from our Saviour, are we healed. And that's what the text is all about. And it's just there at the beginning to help us tune in to this big reality that God's people were being prepared for, once again, the ushering in of grace to the human race so that heaven would be opened and people could become, once again, his children. And becoming his children, we receive grace into our souls, but also light into our mind. And hence the reference here to light and darkness. Darkness, by the way, is the absence of light, as lies the absence of truth. And people, when they live in darkness or sin, they can't see the light of Christ. They can't see his presence in their own lives, but they also can't see the presence of grace or goodness in others. So we ask that in these last few weeks of Lent, as we soak up these rich scripture texts, that we might come closer to that light, shed our sins through confession, and help others come to realise how much God has loved them in the past by offering himself in Calvary, but also how he prepared us and God's people down through the ages for his coming and for ultimately our redemption.